All right, time to wrap with Royce and Patrick. How about them Twins, huh? All concerned about the offense and 15 runs yesterday against the Tigers.
Woo. Yes, and Gladden very upset that they didn't give Nelson Cruz the first home run, much less the second, and then he followed with the grand slam. But he was convinced that it nicked the foul pole, and I heard him later in the game saying he didn't have five RBIs today. He had nine because he hit two grand slams in, on consecutive pitches. But those were familiar-looking Tigers. That must have, if Gardy was watching, it must have made him nostalgic, huh, to see the Tigers pitching like that.
Yes. Exactly, yeah. Why he quit.
That's true. But they, you know, of course, my big problem is if a guy belches, we have to take him out of the lineup. God almighty.
Yeah, what's up with all the indigestion?
Apparently
Byron Buxton is available today, but.
Did you see what Arraez did, though? He, like, kind of patted on his chest like you might if you have a little congestion, and we had to take him out of the game. Now, I know they were already ahead 6-0 or whatever it was, but you don't rush out and ask him what's wrong. Make him tell you what's wrong, for God's sakes. You know, it's ridiculous. I had somebody on Twitter respond to my rant about that, saying, and he didn't use this word, but he said, Baldelli will take you out of a game if he thinks you have to take a leak. <You know>? He will. He drives me nuts. Let him play. God, Buxton should be, he should be in a lineup. You know, you're sick. You're sick too much. Drink some Gatorade, for God's sakes. Let's go here.
It is amazing. What's the if I give you over under on Josh Donaldson playing in another game May 15th?
He'll play before then. But whether he'll be playing on May 15th is he will return, but how long he lasts might be a better question than when he returns, don't you think? I don't know. They're saying a slight tweak of the hamstring. Did you see his explanation?
Yes.
The long explanation about how he's trying a new running style to protect the calves, and it's putting more strain on the hamstring.
Yeah, yeah, that's not going to work.
No.
I'm going to make a prediction right now. That's not going to work out well.
Well, it's too bad because he's a really good player. When he, on those rare occasions he plays, he is a really good player. And I, you know, he looked great this spring, so... I wasn't even watching. I was listening on the radio, and Donaldson hits the ball in the gap, and the next thing you hear is, uh-oh, you know. And you can't believe it. That what was the second pitch he saw? Second batter of the game?
The second batter of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first thing I said was, stop. Stop at first base. I don't care about a double.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't have him waddling to first base and staying there. We already got Nelly doing that. We don't need two guys doing that.
I mean, at some point if he stops at first base, he still has to run the bases. Like if somebody hits a ball to the gap in right center, he has to go to third and to home.
We talked about speed walking. Let's just have him speed walk.
That would be a heck of a contract you have to write off, though, wouldn't it? Oof, $92 million. Wowza.
Yeah.
That would, you know, it is, you know, when you ask them about it, they why they took that risk, they just kind of, you know, they hem and haw and say that, you know, they thought he'd be healthy and they love him as a player. And I love him as a player, too, but even at that advanced age, but. It doesn't do you any good if he can't play.
Did he? Because he made a comment. It was like an Instagram post after he won. Was it like a Silver Slugger or a Comeback Player of the Year? Whatever he won. Like he posted something on his Instagram and it said 7 calf surgeries and he referred to the chronic calf problems. Pat, do you think the organization knew the extent of how bad his calves were when they signed him?
Well, how could they not? I mean, it's all you got to do is say disable, you know, disable list. Disable list, you know, calf. They tell you where the injury is on the disabled list. They used to anyway. So I don't think they didn't know that it was incurable and chronic, I guess. Else they wouldn't have, you know, they wouldn't have signed him. But these guys, Judd and I were talking about this yesterday. Tiger Woods, after the car crash, in Twins terminology, would be day-to-day. You know, they love that day-to-day. Everybody's day-to-day.
He's looking good.
Day-to-day, you know. Osama bin Laden was day-to-day after he got blown up with after he got shot. Day-to-day.
We'll reevaluate tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll reevaluate tomorrow.
Yeah, look pretty good. I saw him this morning.
Got to make sure it was him. But anyway, yeah, that's let's talk about the Baylor Bears. Woo! That was a good basketball team. And you know what the best thing about them is? The speed at which they play defense. They don't press you, but their switches and everything is just they. It's not like a bunch of guys, you know, standing back a little bit and clogging things up. They are out there pressuring you, and when they tap a ball loose, there's three guys running down to shoot a layup. That's a good basketball team, and I actually, one of the rare times in my life, had watched them both in the regional and then against Houston. And I said on Twitter in the middle of the UCLA-Gonzaga game that whoever Baylor is going to beat whichever team wins this game. And I'm surprised how easy it was for them, but I'm not surprised that Baylor won.
They showed a clip last night of Scott Drew in 2003 when he took that job for the first time. I think he did 1 year at Valpo, right?
Yes.
Took over for his dad. And then, so he takes over Baylor in 2003, and he says, we're going to win a national championship here. We're going to build this thing. They won about 10 conference games in their first 4 years at Baylor, stuck with it, and then almost 20 years later, pays it off.
I have not read a good story on the Baylor, you know, they did have the little problem of trying to get over a murder, right? Baylor.
Oh,
yeah. One of the
that's right.
One player killed the other one. Right. That was that's a bit of a
day to day.
Bit of a controversy.
He's only out day to day.
And I think that's when Drew came in. Right? Wasn't it late 1990s, early 2000s when that happened? And it came in. But one of the great stories in American sports, however they're doing it, is Baylor. The last 15 years, because they used to be Northwestern. They were the team that everybody beat, right? They were the dogs of that conference when it was the Southwest Conference, when it was the Big Eight, they were never in the Big Eight, when it was the Southwest Conference, Big 12. They were the dogs. I remember the Gophers had an SID who left here after about a year. And went to Baylor, and the Baylor football team was like ungodly bad, way worse than the Gophers. And I remember laughing, what the hell is he going to Baylor for? I don't know if he's still there, but he's going to, you know, Final Fours and big bowl games, and they've had a hell of a run in sports, and I don't really know how it happens. Now, I did have somebody tell me about 8 years ago that Scott Drew and Baylor are doing stuff you can't imagine to get athletes down there. So I don't know, but that was secondhand hearsay. But they were willing to give assistance, apparently. So,
and you know what? They're not going to take their banners down.
Oh no, they aren't.
They're leaving those banners up no matter what happens.
Even if somebody did them, even if somebody gave one of the players a paper on menstrual cramps, like Jan did.
Yep.
That the most circulated paper in the history of the University of Minnesota. Always good for a B in health class. The menstrual cycle paper by Jan Gangelhoff, which turned out to be one of the great scandals in sports history. So, how about this trend, though, gentlemen, of bringing in a former player to take over the operation. Now, Hubert Davis at North Carolina was an assistant there a long time, but I think a lot of people thought they'd go outside and get a already successful head college coach. Mike Woodson getting hired at Indiana.
Yep.
And then having Thad Matta come in to teach him how to coach, basically, although he had coached the Knicks and stuff, but having Thad Matta come in to be the strategist, and it's quite the trend, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And it's, Juwan Howard probably started it because it worked, right?
So. Did I see the Hoosiers also were talking to my good friend Larry Brown about an assistant's job?
Yes, yeah, they were going to have Larry
God bless him, man. I told you he'd be back.
Got to be 80.
I don't care. I told you he'd be back. He can't help himself.
Well, my favorite, did he go to, when he was at Kansas in 85, was that after UCLA?
Yes.
Because
Danny Manning was after UCLA.
There was a story, yeah, where he had that capable assistant coach, Ed Manning, who was,
again,
Ed had been driving truck, and suddenly he was an assistant coach at Kansas.
Banners are forever, Pat.
Yes, that's right. I was there, but I remember there was a rumor on Sunday from one of the national guys that Larry on Sunday, before the championship game, had been in conversations with UCLA about coming back. He's one of the happy feet guys of all time. He could not stay anywhere, but he could coach. Flip followed him to town, and Flip won. They got to the NBA Finals. They won 60 some games, I think. So I just
looked this up. So Larry Brown, his first ever head coaching job. ABA 1972
Carolina, right?
Carolina. Yep. So
and
he's
that
been...
was that Phil was the Carolina team that played in several cities, and one of the guy who basically they played in Raleigh, they played in Charlotte, they played in various cities down there, in the college Tobacco Road stuff, and one of the concept came from Frank DeFord.
Really?
Yeah. I think Frank DeFord had a big story on it in Sport, My Carolina Babies or something like that in Sports Illustrated back then.
So there was a couple years here and there where he would take took a couple years off and then get the SMU job. But he mostly was a head coach from 1972 until 2016. The longest he ever spent at one stop was 6 years.
Really? At Kansas?
The 76ers.
Oh, really?
He spent 6 years with the Sixers.
Really?
Yeah.
So his only NBA title was Detroit, right? I think he won one with the Detroit. He never won one in Philly. So
yeah, he did win.
Yeah,
one
oh yeah, he did. He won the 03-04 with the anonymous Detroit team.
That was some exciting basketball back then.
Ooh, yeah, it was. If you like to have guys beat the crap out of each other.
Exactly. Yeah.
By the way, I wrote a piece today about the early years of the Mankato State St. Cloud State rivalry, and Jeff Pesselt was on the team in the late 70s, a really good player. He's like high on the list of all-time goal scorers for St. Cloud and stuff. But he had a line mate named Steve Martinson who became a pro. Remember him, Judd? Played for the Jets and a bunch of teams.
Yes.
Had over 300 professional fights in hockey. And he's now a coach in the ECHL. And he's won over 1,000 games. And he's down there. And I talked to him in Allen, Texas, about his fights, and he said, against Mankato, and he said, I can't remember any great ones against, he says, on the ice, but we stayed overnight on a Saturday in Mankato and went to a party, and he said, that was a hell of a fight. So Pesselt was there. I got a scouting report from Pesselt. I just sent a text to him and said, you didn't happen to be at the party, did you? And he says, oh, yeah. He said that. He said, Martinson was beating a guy over the head with a cowboy boot, and the rest of us were just wrestling.
Oh, I think Martinson was from Tonka, right?
I think so.
Oh,
yeah,
a great Tonka guy.
Great guy, but
amazing.
You know, the late 70s, man.
Oh, it was a little different.
Oh, God. You could cover some stuff up then. Pesselt said if they knew what was going on, they would have shut down the program.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And I didn't realize this. Pesselt's brother played for Mankato. They were like a year apart, and they played. He was a really good player at Mankato, and they would try to beat the hell out of each other during the games. But they had some brawls. I guess that were because those guys were. Mm-hmm. St. Cloud had been around since they've been playing hockey since 1931, but Mankato just started in the late 60s. So anyway, seeing those two schools playing in the national semifinals just blows my mind.
And did you see what happened with UMass too?
What?
So UMass has four players, including two top Wild prospects out because of COVID problems. So they can still, the team can still play unlike the
so
Regionals.
So UMD will be in the final, huh?
So, no. They're probably going to wax them. They probably will wax them good. But yeah, they're without like four of their best players.
Yeah. Wow.
Too bad.
You know what? Phil, greatest hockey conference in America, the Northern Sun. UMD, Mankato, St. Cloud, and it could have been Bemidji. They could have had all four of them out of the Northern Sun. So,
by the way, Pat and I will be doing a full Frozen Four recap, yes. The two hockey guys here at Score North. We're launching our daily hockey podcast next week. It'll be great.
I know a lot about Mankato and St. Cloud hockey. I don't know diddly about the Gophers and these other teams or the Wild. But Judd, yep. I told you we're going to have to take down that number one banner. As soon as the fans get back, the Wild get beat at home. They hadn't lost at home in 2 months.
Yep.
The fans, the phony fans come in.
You know what the greatest part?
They can't help inspire them to victory. Take down the number one banner.
The greatest part last night, so they give up four goals in the second period. The greatest part was the booing that took place.
Oh, did they get booed?
As the Wild left. Well, I think they were upset at the officials, too, but it was just fantastic to hear booing
That's
as they
right.
left the ice
That's
again.
Right.
I missed that.
Yes.
All right.
I missed the disgruntled fans. 3,000, though.
That's
3,000 fans last night.
That's good.
All right, Pat.
All right.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right.
See you, Royce.
Yep.
All right. That's Wrapping with Royce here on Mackey and Judd every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. And Royce Unchained every single Monday.